The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Shortly after 6 o'clock. In the meantime, we are going to talk about Northern Ireland. And I want to hear from people about Northern Ireland and about the scenes of violence that we've seen from Northern Ireland over the last 24, 48 hours. And I want people to try, if we can, help us understand what is happening there, because I think we have to try and understand it. I don't think it is enough to just condemn it. Of course, we all condemn what we've seen, but to just condemn it and then descend into the old tribal shouting match. I mean, Colm Eastwood of the SDLP was speaking to Pat Kenny a little bit earlier today. I thought he was interesting when he acknowledged, look, this violence is nothing to do with protocols or where customs checks happen on live cattle exports. He said the causes of violence like this are poverty, they are destitution, and they are neglect of entire communities. And I don't think anybody listening to this show could argue that Northern Ireland is not neglected. I mean, you only have to look at Boris Johnson, the British Prime Minister's Twitter account today. He has tweeted once about Northern Ireland. 19 hours ago, he expressed his deep concern about what was happening there. He hasn't said anything since. He's so concerned. Do you know what he's tweeted about most recently with all his concern for Northern Ireland? About beer gardens opening in Cornwall. That's what he's tweeting about. You look at the news sites from the United Kingdom. The BBC, what's their top story? Child vaccines. What's the top story in Sky News? More vaccines, about blood clots. What's the top story on the ITV News website? More vaccines, blood clots again. On ITV, they're the worst offenders. Northern Ireland is only the fifth most important story on that website. I mean, I want you to imagine it wasn't Belfast burning. Imagine it was Birmingham or Bristol or Brighton, and imagine what the front pages of the UK papers would look like. Because here's what they actually look like. The morning after Belfast burns, the Times of London, AstraZeneca, Oxfam and Physics. The Daily Telegraph, AstraZeneca, Putin, Myanmar and Tiger Woods. The front page of the Daily Mail, AstraZeneca, James Bond. The front page of the Daily Express, AstraZeneca, the Queen. The front page of the Sun, AstraZeneca and Kim Kardashian. Again, imagine that was a British city. A British city like Birmingham or Bristol or Brighton that was burning and not Belfast. Would that be the front page of any paper in the United Kingdom? Of course it wouldn't. That is neglect. That is what we're talking about. That is what we're going to try to get to the bottom of today on this show. Our first port of call is Henry McKean, because he has been to Belfast today. He has been to the Shankill area of the city speaking to people. Take a listen.
You're a bus driver. How do you feel about what happened yesterday evening?
Guys are just doing his day's work. We're on our own, so it's an absolutely disgraceful, despicable thing, and nobody wants to go back to those days again. The bus is a bus. They can be replaced. It's the guys we work with, our colleagues, that we would be worried about and more concerned about. As far as I know, he's still in shock about it, and but he'll get over it, you know, hopefully. But you can see it all just simmering underneath the surface. There are tensions there, and they've been whipped up by politicians, whether they're trying to deny it or not. They have whipped it up.
You're young. Why the violence?
Catholics hate the Protestants. We hate the Catholics, so it's kind of like a war. Never went away, up around the falls in the Shankill, so always trouble up there.
Acting out, they don't really know what they're doing, to be honest.
Working class areas, lowliest areas. I personally think it had a lot to do with the protocol. Sinn Féin IRA in West Belfast had the story funeral. Why did the police not act and arrest people for breaking on the COVID rules?
The bus was burnt just behind us.
Yeah, the bus was burnt just behind us. I think it was, you know, quite a dangerous thing, them young lads at 17, 18, 19. You know, I wouldn't like them to get a criminal record and be put into prison. Being truthful, I am a community worker within the area, and I did see representatives from paramilitary groups there, but they definitely did not participate in the orchestration of the Red and Shankill Road. It was just actually young people taking upon themselves, and they seemed to be wanting to, you know, rat and cause disturbance.
Why are the young people getting involved?
Because they let the funeral go.
They're rapping because of all what's happening with the NI protocol, you know, the Irish Sea border, and then just that they've been forgot about.
And do you feel forgotten about?
Well, yeah, a wee bit, but for the Protestants, because the Catholics seem to, you know, when they're ratting, it does pay off. I think people are just angry, and that's why they're outrating. It was meant to be a protest, and then they've just seen everyone else doing it, and then they've thought, oh, well, we'll go out and rat. And then because the politicians aren't really standing up for the Protestant people.
What do you think of Arlene Foster's leadership?
She needs to stand up more for the Protestant people. Probably get worse before it gets better, until there's some sort of agreement with this sea border. She's 12 and I'll keep her in, I'll keep her safe. But if I had a teenage boy, sort of between the age range of 14 to 17, yeah, I would be concerned.
What do you think happened last night?
Everyone was ratting.
Who said KAT, like?
KAT, kill all takes.
Yeah, Henry McKean speaking to people in the Shankill area of Belfast today. One passerby is shouting at his microphone, KAT, can't kill all tags. Michelle O'Neill is the Deputy First Minister of Northern Ireland, and she is the Sinn Féin Vice President. Michelle, can I ask, first of all, your reaction to what you've just heard?
I mean, I've heard many people comment from that community over the course of the last number of days, and it's very worrying, because I think the underlying thing that you hear repeatedly, and you hear a number of reasons when people try to justify what's happening right now, but I think the one thing, the underlying thing that I hear repeatedly is that there are people in those communities that feel left behind, and they're very much looking towards their political leaders for support. So I think you have to take that on board, and everybody has to take that on board, but particularly those people that represent the working class Protestant people in East Belfast. If those people don't feel represented or that their views are heard, then that's something that, of course, that needs to be taken on board. I mean, I think we've been in for the last number of days has been pretty horrendous, I have to say, very worrying. And then I think what we had over the course of the start of the week was sort of sporadic, if you like, pockets of violence and disruption. And then what we had last night was nearly an upping of the ante whenever it moved into an interface area where the two communities meet. And, you know, that very much troubles me and worries me about, you know, that we're back here. You know, this is the space that we're in. And certainly today, I've spent a good bit of today speaking with the PSNI, with the Chief Constable, who has confirmed that it's been orchestrated by criminal gangs. So those people that are involved in keeping their foot basically on the neck of the communities in which they live. So people involved in racketeering and extortion, and really existing 23 years after the Good Friday Agreement, whenever, you know, just ludicrous that they actually
Former unionist paramilitary groups, is that who you're talking about?
Yes, I am. Yes, UDA, UVF and others that still exist. You know, there's no rhyme or reason for why organisations that would still exist 23 years after the Good Friday Agreement and the peace that brought us and the change that brought us and the hope that brought us.
Mm.
These groups are the heart of sending youngsters as young as 13 out onto the streets to do their bidding. And really, what do these children end up with? For a vast majority of them, don't even know what they're out in the streets for. But I think that there's an issue around, and some of the people that were interviewed there in the Vox Pop referred to this, poverty.
Yeah, Colm Eastwood made this point, speaking to Pat Kenny earlier, and I thought it was interesting because, like, look, I suppose it's the nature of politics in the North that often things end up with the age-old kind of tribal insults. But he was talking about, look, this is nothing to do with protocols. People mention protocols. It's to do with poverty and destitution and neglect.
It's to do with, that's definitely a factor, there's no doubt in my mind, because of the fact that a lot of these communities do live in you know, relative poverty, and that's something that needs to be very much focused on. But I do think that, as I said, I think a lot of the youngsters that are out on the streets don't actually understand why they're on the streets, and if you were to ask them directly, they probably wouldn't understand. Over the last number of, probably the last number of months since the protocol came into play, starting at the start of the year, these people, these communities are being told by their political leaders that their identity is under threat. And that's not the case. The Brexit, which the unionist leaders have to deliver, the hardest possible Brexit that was being delivered, has nothing to do with identity. And these people are being told that their identity is under threat. And then they invite a kind of anger and a fear from some people. So I think that today was really important for a number of reasons. One, all political leaders stood together, sent out a very clear statement to say that we condemn the violence that needs to stop, calling for an end to these protests, and that there's a unity of purpose there, because that's what our communities need to see. People are actually fearful looking on today, you know, after seeing what's happened over the course of the week, and they don't want it to escalate and they want it to stop. And we all need to bring our young people back in
yeah.
and make sure that they're not being left with They're being left with things like criminal records.
Yeah.
Which will impact on their real lives and their opportunity for a job and everything else in the future.
Yeah. Arlene Foster, the First Minister and DUP leader, has come in for some criticism about her tweet. This is not a protest. It's vandalism and attempted murder. These actions do not represent unionism or loyalism. They are an embarrassment to Northern Ireland. So far, so good. They only serve to take the focus off the real lawbreakers in Sinn Féin. My thoughts are with the bus driver. Did you speak to her? Have you spoken to her about that?
I haven't spoken to her directly about it. We obviously had an executive meeting first thing this morning just to discuss the current situation where there was a full discussion around it. I think it was the most unfortunate, to say the least, tweet. I mean, there's no equivocation here. There can be no, you know, false equivalence drawn between, you know, myself attending a funeral and then what we're witnessing in our streets. I mean, even by any stretch of the imagination, people can't do that. I think what the community at large want to see is political leaders working together. They want to see this activity brought to an end, and they want to see us supporting the PSNI. Mm. We've had Arlene Foster and others saying that they don't support the Chief Constable. They think he should resign. At a time of such volatility, people need to be very careful because words are very powerful, and some of these things then invite some of the things that are happening over the past number of days.
Can I ask, Michelle, because you would understand the community there much more than I would. The UDA, the UVF and all these other former paramilitary groups that are now involved in racketeering and everything else in these communities, what do they achieve by inciting this violence?
It's deflection. It's a kickback against policing. There's been a number of successful policing operations in bringing some of these people to book, basically, before the court. And certainly the PSNI's assessment would be that some of the things that you're seeing today, this orchestration, is deflect away from that and really to put it up to policing.